Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
I would love for you guys, I had mentioned this in the pre-connect, if you're feeling Holy Spirit in any way, I want you to type in what you're feeling. You know, it's funny because somebody, I think it was my mom that said, it's raining, you know, felt like what you were feeling, Brandy. And then Murray said, I feel fire. I thought, boy, that is totally the opposite, rain and fire. But you know, then quickly I thought of how creative God is, and I'm so thankful. I don't know what you guys like to do. I am not one to go, I got to be careful. You know, I'll use McDonald's. You know, when I go to McDonald's and you get vanilla, chocolate, or mixed, I don't even know if they do the mixed. You know, I'm so thankful when I can go to an ice cream shop and there are so many different flavors. Anybody else? Where you can have like chocolate peanut butter, M&M's, like you're shaking your head. Yes. So, I think it's awesome because Holy Spirit can show up in different ways. Holy Spirit comes in, he can come in fire, he can come in rain, he can come in peace. You know, Rod, you were talking about earlier, you know, you've had a lot of manifestations that differ from a lot of other people. You get to have the happy feet and you shake and it's different for me. You know, sometimes Pastor Claude would be another example. He cries when Holy Spirit shows up. So I love if Holy Spirit is touching you today, just to put it into the chat and let us know how he is showing up. The other thing I wanted to say, this is a celebration of the day of Pentecost, we remember, but as I was praying into it during worship, I felt like I needed to give a warning. You know, just because today's the day of Pentecost, it doesn't mean tomorrow's the day of Pentecost in some ways, in the sense Holy Spirit wants to move tomorrow. And I thought of it like, you know, we celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day. Father's Day is coming up, just reminding all the wives. You know, we would be smart to honor our mothers every day, would we not? We want our mothers honored every day. We want our fathers honored every day. Or Valentine's Day, if you only celebrate your marriage on Valentine's Day, you're probably in trouble in your marriage. You know, we have to sneak away right now on some sort of date, which means going for a walk, you know, and it's sad enough that sometimes, I think you guys said it the one day too, grocery shopping can feel like a date, which is really sad. But, you know, we want to celebrate every day. We don't want it just to be one day. So although we are celebrating Pentecost, we're going to talk about Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's tomorrow. Holy Spirit's next Sunday. Holy Spirit's every day. It never stopped. It's not like one day and then we just wait the rest of the year. It's not Christmas and then we have to wait again another year. Holy Spirit is always moving. Amen. All right. Okay, so what we're going to do, I'm just looking at some of the comments coming in. A lot of thank yous for the worship team. Great job today, guys. All right, let's begin. We're going to talk. I do want to talk, of course, about Holy Spirit today. I want to do a little bit of a battle. I want to do a little bit of history and teaching. But at the same time, man, if we don't walk away feeling Holy Spirit and feeling more full of the Holy Spirit, then we're really just talking. And I don't want just talk. Turn to Acts. We're going to do a lot of scripture today. If you do not have your Bible handy, you need to have your Bible handy. I think the challenge that we have today is that if you're watching the service on your phone, but you usually use the phone as a Bible, you're in trouble. And so you need to have like an actual Bible if you can, or if you're watching on your TV, luckily you have your phone. But I want to encourage you to look up scriptures. You know, I'm going to read a scripture today about Mount Sinai and how basically at one point they're like, you know what, you go for us. Moses, you kind of talk to God. And I really feel sometimes when we don't read the word for ourselves, it's what we're kind of doing. Preacher, you preach the word and they'll put the words up, but you know, I'm just going to, you know, I'm not condemning. I just think we need to be people that read the word for ourselves. We need to have it in front of us. So we're going to turn to Acts 1, starting in verse 1. And I just want to make note of something. I think this is really awesome. It says, this is Luke writing in Acts, and he says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus, and this is what I want you to get, began both to do and teach. And when I saw that, I thought, that's awesome. He began something that is never finished. He began something that is never finished. And I love when you go through, and Pastor Rod, you were talking a lot about the names of the feasts, and there are three major feasts that the Jewish people celebrate, and this is the second one of this year, and it starts with Passover, and now we have the Feast of Weeks, like he said, and Pentecost. But I want to do today, I do want to do a bit of history, because I think it's important to know how pivotal of a time this was. And so make note, though, of the fact that it says that Jesus began to both do and teach. But that word began, it's something that began that has not ever finished. It's still ongoing. So important. All right, what I want to do, let's look. We're, like I said, a lot of scripture today. Let's start way back and let's go to Exodus, not Genesis. We're going to go to Exodus. And the two feasts come from both this time of Exodus, because we have the Passover that was a pivotal time where they left Egypt and the angel of the Lord passed over and did not, if they had the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, their oldest was not sacrificed, and so they were able to leave Exodus. They went through the Red Sea, which is like baptism and resurrection and all that. And we have this story that begins to unfold. Now, I'm going to jump back to one moment in Exodus 3. And what I'm going to do is hopefully paint a picture for you. In Exodus 3, verses 2 and 3, this is before that all unfolded. It says, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." We'll read another couple verses. "Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses,' and he said, 'Here I am.'" I've been talking, I think I wrote it in this month that we just had in the newsletter, that this is a time to turn aside, that we have been trying to take time to turn aside. And honestly, the more I think about it, the more I think it is such a powerful opportunity. It is not easy. There's something about when we come together that makes it easy to do a prophetic act, you know, and you're trying to walk people through a prophetic act, like get something at home, find a line to cross, you know, and it's interesting that it can be more intimidating at home. Because, you know, it's your family, and what are their family? And you get into a crowd, and you're like, well, everybody else is doing it. I don't feel bad doing it. But I'll tell you, if we can get the courage to start doing things on our own and press in and feel God's presence at home, changes everything. And so here we have Moses turning aside, but I want to make note that God showed up in a bush that was on fire. And it begins to set a story and language in place that's going to carry us all the way, of course, to the day of Pentecost. But he showed up in fire. And I want to continue this. So go to Exodus 19. And I just want to paint this picture for you to understand what it looks like. Exodus 19, verse 16 to 18. I love to see the comments here. Some saying I'm filled and my cup overfloweth. Somebody's experiencing an amazing miracle today. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. Overwhelming sense of peace and love. That's awesome. Feeling rain. So isn't that cool how God's moving at home? We are the church, amen? That's so awesome. Lord, we just ask you to continue to move. And before I forget, it comes to mind right now, we want to pray for Matthew, who is still fighting for his life in London. This is Leslie Kaz's son-in-law. So can you guys, just before we go any further, it just came to mind. Father God, we just lift up Matthew. Lord, I thank you that he is still breathing and will continue to breathe, and you have been doing miracles. But Father God, we stretch out our hand. He's in London, and we command that septic system, that his system that is full of infection, to be healed, to be totally set free right now in Jesus' name. Father God, I was praying this earlier today, like you hovered over the water, there was chaos on the deep, and you turned that chaos into life. We ask the same thing, Father God, that right now you would hover over his blood system, over every tissue, every cell. And Father God, you would bring that darkness into light. You would cause that infection to go right now in Jesus' name. And we say, body, respond to the word of the Lord in Jesus' name. Be healed, be healed, be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. So important, guys, to keep praying for him. And I'm sure there's others. If there's prayer intentions, please put it on. Okay, back to Exodus 19. So here we are now, jumping ahead, where they have left Egypt. Exodus 19, verse 16, it says, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning." So this is now, and I find this funny, Rod, you know, how many times Moses had to go up and down the mountain. And I looked it up. I was just curious, how tall is this mountain? It's 7,500 feet almost. And I thought, you know, we just read it like it's a line, like, hold on, I'll be right back. You know, he climbs all the way up the mountain, gets more instructions, comes down, gives the instructions, goes back up, and thought that Moses is at least in shape. All right. So this is Moses, Mount Sinai. This is where basically God's going to show up and wants to show up to the people. There's some amazing things where God is basically, if you go to, I'm going to skip back to verse 5 of chapter 19. He says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, so this is a covenant being made, then you will be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So it's an incredible invitation. He's like, you know what? I'm going to show up. I'm going to be your God. You got to obey my voice, obey my commandments, and I will be your God. You will be my people, and you'll be a special people throughout the earth. Incredible moment. And so Moses goes down after he had just been up and goes and tells the people, and the people say, yes, we receive this. And they want this. And so he begins to get them prepared. And he says, you got to get yourself ready. And so they get themselves ready, and he puts boundaries. But it's interesting because although he's putting boundaries, he's like, I want to meet you, all of you. And so here we go, verse 16. It says, then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud. So all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now hear this. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. So we have this incredible moment going on, and it's unfortunate they say basically a little later on, they're like, you know what, Moses, you represent us. Instead of all of the people being represented and having an opportunity to talk with God, it's one person now. But I want to draw your attention to the fact that he came down in fire. It literally is a pillar of fire. The other thing that's really cool, looking up words, thunderings is actually voices. Voices. They call it thunder and lightning, but it's literally, they're trying to describe this moment of fire and smoke and voices and trumpets. And so they said it was like thundering, but it was like voices. And that's going to play directly into Acts. But understand, you've got a fire, the burning bush. Now you've got a pillar of fire and God wanting to try to get close to his people. Let's continue on the story. We got Exodus 20. This is kind of, again, verse 18. Exodus 20, verse 18. It says, now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when all the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. And then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear you. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off. And what a tragic moment, like I was saying. So we now have two moments of fire. I want to turn now to Exodus 40. Just trying to, again, paint this understanding, this picture of what it looks like in the Old Testament, Exodus 40, verse 34. This is now the tabernacle. Exodus 40, verse 34. This is the tabernacle of meeting. It says, now the cloud. So we've got a burning bush. We've got fire showing up on Mount Sinai. And this is where he gets the word. This is the covenant that's given. Now we have the tabernacle. It says, now the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Man, so important again. So now you've got a cloud, same thing on Mount Sinai. You've got fire, same thing. But what I want to draw your attention to is this is a time when basically they begin to go, watch the cloud and the fire move. And when the cloud moves, move with me. If the fire moves, move with me. And it's such a pivotal moment that we're going to understand in the New Testament that this is now us. That it is still our job to go, Lord, and we'll get into what the cloud is and the fire, and I'm sure you guys are tracking, you guys are, you know, seasoned, but there might be somebody out there, you've never heard this before, but understand that it was the Israelites, the first time that they got to go, Lord, we want to follow you, and when you move, when you stop, we'll stop. You know, and that's what we're trying to do today in worship. That's what Shane was doing up here leading. That's what I asked Brandy to hear for, you know, what are you getting? And Rod, Pastor Rod, and we're like, we just want to move where you're moving. And we don't want to stop until you're stopping. And sometimes, you know, we know that we need to move on with the service because God wants us to, but we're like, oh, we'd just rather stay here. But the cloud's moving on. And you can feel it. Sometimes it's like, all right, the cloud has moved on. This session, what we're doing here, we have to shift. So understand, this is so important. All right, like I said, lots of scripture today. Turn with me to Numbers now. Numbers 9. Hang with me. Keep reading. Numbers 9, verse 15. Again, this is the tabernacle. Just giving another visual, it says, verse 15, now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of testimony, from evening until morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always the cloud covered by day and the appearance of fire by night. And it's the same story where when the cloud was taken up, they moved. And when it wasn't, they rested. I'm trying to, again, explain that every time it was a pillar, singular, of fire that came. It was a singular bush. It was a singular pillar of fire on Mount Sinai. The tabernacle was dedicated. It was a singular pillar of fire. And now we're going to jump again to lots of scripture, 2 Chronicles. And then we're going to move to something in the New Testament. 2 Chronicles, turn with me there. 2 Chronicles, verse 7. Now we're going to have the dedication of the temple. And this is Solomon dedicating the temple that David did not build, but Solomon did. 2 Chronicles 7. And he gets to dedicate it. We're going to go verses 1 to 3. When Solomon, so this is now the temple, not the tabernacle. The tabernacle, the ark is moved into the temple. And it says, when Solomon had finished praying, listen, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord in the temple, they bowed their face to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord. And this is where we were a couple weeks ago. Their response was, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. So awesome. So now we understand that we've got singular fire on the bush, singular fire on the mountain, singular fire on the tabernacle, singular fire on the temple. And this is where the Lord dwells, in the temple, in the tabernacle. And it's a singular fire. And one last scripture in the Old Testament, don't turn to it because this is going to be quoted in Acts 2 and we're going to go there. And this is Joel, and this is what was prophesied. And Joel said, it would come to pass after that I would pour out my spirit on all flesh. This is an Old Testament prophecy that's saying there's going to be a day that comes and it's not going to just show up in one place. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so here we are. We're going to flip to the New Testament. I know it's a lot of scripture, but I'm just trying to set a stage for what we are getting at. In John and Matthew, at the very beginning, we're not going to turn to him for the sake of time. And John and Matthew both talk about John the Baptist waiting for the one that was going to come. And I love the fact that in John it says that John the Baptist yells out, behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world, the sacrifice, the one. Because in the temple, the fire came to burn up the sacrifice. And here John is declaring, behold the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sins of the world. But I want to draw your attention to Matthew because he says this. John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So we've got Joel talking about the many. All will be filled, all flesh, all mankind will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And now we have John declaring, John the Baptist saying, there's one that's coming that's going to baptize with water, repentance, and fire. And that's so powerful. And I don't, you know what I wrestle with, Rod? I wrestle with, we could do great teachings. And I'll tell you, I looked up a lot of great teachings just to try to, you know, get my understanding. But I thought, Lord, we've got to move from teachings to what actually happens. Because if it's just a teaching over and over again, we'll go on tomorrow yet again. And it's just, you know, like we had another good teaching. And we've had phenomenal teachings. We have teachings every Sunday that I think are top notch. But I'm telling you, I don't want to walk away with the teaching. This is the season to turn aside from, you know, with Moses, something caused attention. It was the fire. If we're going to see anything change on this earth right now, we got to turn aside to the fire. If we don't turn aside to the fire, we're just going to keep going the way we're going. This is a little side note. Interesting enough, the other day, Rod, I had a God idea. But it's interesting. It was such a God idea. How do I even explain this? It was like, this is what it could be, but I also knew that there's no way it could be right now. Because it was this idea of churches coming together. I'm not even going to try to explain it. All I knew was that this is a God idea, but we can't do it until we find our way into unity. And I say that because teaching will never just get us into unity. But I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit will. That's what he came to do. So now we understand we've got fire, and we've got John the Baptist saying that he's going to baptize. One is coming that's going to baptize with fire. I'm almost there. John, go to John. We've got the whole ministry. Go to John 14, please. Jesus comes on the scene. They really think he's going to be the Messiah that becomes king and rules. And he does, but just not the way they expect him to. And they're so excited to be walking with Jesus that when he begins to talk about him leaving, they just can't fathom him leaving. They've done miracles because Jesus gave them authority to do miracles. He was the one that commanded them to, gave them authority to. They just are so excited to be walking with him, and they can't fathom, like I said, him leaving. They watched as well, some of them, the Holy Spirit come upon Jesus like a dove, it says, when he was baptized. But in John 14, he's going to say something that is going to boggle their minds that they don't even get until later on. But he says in John 14, verse 16, he says, and I will pray, this is Jesus, he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, we've looked at this scripture, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and here's the key, and will be in you. I don't know, there's sometimes, Rod, I read things so often, and it just... Yeah, that's awesome. But guys, do you realize that he's talking about the Godhead, part of the Trinity, which is really the whole Trinity, but yet part of the Trinity, living and dwelling inside of us? And I think we could take that so lightly, you know, and comes to mind watching Jason Spiteri, if you're watching, you know, I've so loved him on Thursday nights because he's getting involved in prayer for the first time, like he's knowing that he's hearing God's voice, and to watch the excitement on him, really all the teams, to watch God move. And you realize when we step back, it's not just a good story, but what's about to happen that we celebrate and remember today is God dwelling within us, no longer dwelling around us, no longer Jesus being near the disciples, but he's actually going to come and dwell within us. And it's so phenomenal. We have to remember how important it is that Jesus left so Holy Spirit could come. And Holy Spirit doesn't just, come to be around. He comes to dwell within. Amen? All right, here we go. Let's turn to Acts 1, and then we're just going to kind of carry Acts 1 and 2, and we're going to pray. In Acts 1, We started with verse 1 about what he began. So Jesus came not to just, it wasn't just finished so then nothing ever happened. He began something that he wanted us to continue. I often joke and say it's like tag, you're it. So here they are, verse 4 of chapter 1. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded, this is Jesus, do not depart from Jerusalem, but you need to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Verse 5, for truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Matthew said, fire, many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, here their mindset still the same, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They're asking, will you become the king and overthrow the Romans? And he said, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. And then he says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we understand and know that he's basically going to commission, and he says, wait for this power to show up. Chapter 2, here we go. I want to draw your attention one more time to understanding the fire, singular, in the burning bush. Mount Sinai, singular, pillar of fire. The tabernacle where Jesus is going to dwell, singular, the pillar of fire. And then you have the temple where Jesus is going to dwell, and you have a singular fire. But here's the day of Pentecost, and we know Joel prophesied that he'd pour out spirit upon all flesh. Chapter 2, verse 1. So interesting that when you understand the day of Pentecost and you said the feast, excuse me, you understand that people had come from all over, not just in Jerusalem, but they are from everywhere, and they're coming because they're told to come. He actually says the male has to come 3 times a year to go and celebrate. So you got people from all over the place that speak, we know, different languages. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place, which is actually unity, which is exactly what we need right now is unity. And suddenly, and I want you to look at the wording, and you've read this probably many of you many times, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And if you look at the word, because this is actually celebrating what happened on Mount Sinai, if you look at the wording, Luke is using the wording to say it's a lot like Mount Sinai. And unfortunately, if you remember, at Mount Sinai, they pushed away the Lord. They said, no, Moses, you become a representative. You know, we'll let you speak. And then it says this, then there appeared to them, this is why I was going with the fire. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's just stop right there. You've got a similar moment and wording that he's trying to say on Mount Sinai. The difference now is, if you remember, the fire came into a temple, a tabernacle. And the wording here is very, very important because he's trying to tell them from this day forward, it will never be the same again. The fire will not be in one place. The fire will now be in multiple temples. Multiple temples. Any temple that is dedicated to the Lord, meaning us, we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. He says any temple that wants to have the Holy Spirit can now have the Holy Spirit. And he goes and he pours out his spirit upon all flesh. This is what we celebrate today. But I'm convinced in my own life, guys, that, and I could hear it in you, Brandy, when you were speaking today, we got to be desperate for the Holy Spirit. I am so convinced in my own life that I don't have enough of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, we say, how can you have any more of the Holy Spirit? I don't know how you can. All I know is that it's clear in Scripture that you can. Because it's funny, because the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit, it's not like we get the arm of the Holy Spirit, and later on we'll get the other arm. It doesn't work like that. But all I know is the more hungry you are, the more you get. And the more you use it, the more he'll come. The more we... And here's the other thing I want to say. The church for so long has called the Holy Spirit an it. I used to. It was like a thing. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, not less than. He is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are all God. I try to describe it. I was thinking of it this way. First time I ever thought of it this way. It's like a Ford's has multiple departments, but no department calls itself not Ford's, although each department is unique in what it needs to do. But it's all part of Ford. Each part of the Trinity has a specific role, but it's all part of God. And so when he gives us the Holy Spirit, we get the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But the only thing I know is that we could be churches and people that don't fully even operate with the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons for that is that the Holy Spirit is a person, therefore the Holy Spirit must be in a relationship and we must get to know it. It would be like Shane and Brandy, can you imagine getting married, saying yes, and then never being with each other again, but really expecting to know each other well? Do you guys know each other better than you do the day you said yes? A whole lot better. Because you've taken time to get to know each other. Andrea and Ryan, you guys are probably one of the newer ones married. Do you know each other better now than before? Absolutely. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. It's like we say yes in that day, but we have the opportunity now to walk with Holy Spirit. But I so want to draw your attention to the fact that it wasn't one person. It was the fire being poured out on all flesh. And it's an opportunity for all of us. He now dwells in us. He doesn't just dwell around us. I love it. You got to remember, I talked about Moses, basically, when he prayed, God said, I want a unique people. He said, I want a people group. They're going to be a special people. And it is so interesting because now he wants everyone. He moves from a special people group to, I want to pour out my spirit on everyone. And I want to show you how interesting this is because I can't even imagine what it must have been like for the disciples who basically all their life, they were trained a certain way. And I want to draw your attention to the story quickly as I have time here to close with Peter in Acts 10. And I'll just talk about it. Peter in Acts 10 basically has a dream now that he's allowed to eat things that he should never eat. And he's like, Lord, I cannot do this. I can't eat things that I shouldn't eat. He's like, no, I have a special assignment. Get ready. Because they've only worked with the Jewish people. And in Acts 10, you have Cornelius, who is an Italian centurion, who has basically had a vision and somehow loves God. We don't even know how he loves God, but loves God. And he sees a man coming that's going to basically pray for them. And Peter basically has this dream. And so when the people come, he knows it's okay to go with them. Why? Because the cloud is moving. And Peter had to learn, okay, Lord, where are you going? If the cloud's going, I'm going with you. And I don't even understand this, but the fire and the cloud is moving. So I got to go. And so he basically travels to Cornelius' house. And what I love about this, you'll see in verse chapter 10, verse 44, I think they actually had some things in place. They're like, okay, Holy Spirit shows up, we baptize people, then they get filled with the Holy Spirit. I think they had this kind of understanding. And then you have here, Acts 10, verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, he's trying to describe it. It would be like me talking to you guys, trying to get you ready for baptism, and you're baptized while I'm speaking. He says, while they were speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They're all Gentiles. And those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed, were astonished. So you got the Jewish people there that are watching and they're astonished because they're circumcised. They're thinking, hey, we're the people that God fell upon. And it says, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay a few days. Like, I'm just thinking how messed up their brains must have been at this point. Because, A, first of all, they're going to now Gentiles, and they're basically, he's talking, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, but wait a minute, we used to baptize, and then they got filled with the Holy Spirit. So they're like, well, we might as well baptize them too. Their minds are completely blown because everything they've known of has changed. So now we've got the Jews can be filled with the Holy Spirit and the Gentiles can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we have fire falling on the Jews. Now we have fire falling on Gentiles. Why do I say all that? Because this is the day that we celebrate. We celebrate a change. And it was actually Somebody even wrote it in there, I think, and you were prophesying it about a change, a day of change. You know, and we don't just say this because it's Pentecost. This is a day that's changing. But what we need to understand is without the day of Pentecost, we would never have what we have today. We would never have the ability to go before the Lord and say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your fire. Church, all I know is that if we're going to move from where we are now, that we need to start saying, church, fill us with fire. Holy Spirit, fill us with fire. And it's not just for a few. And the interesting thing is, if I could be brutally honest, it seems like when people sometimes get filled, they want to run off, but it's actually to be filled so we can do what God calls us to do and come and celebrate and get trained up and go out again and see God move and come back and get trained and celebrate and go out again and see God move. It is so important right now that we walk in unity. It is so important right now that we begin to say, Holy Spirit, this is what I'm trying to do. Holy Spirit, show me when the cloud is moving. All I'm saying is, Holy Spirit, show me when you're moving so I can follow you. Because sometimes I want to go here and Holy Spirit's going here. I'm like, Holy Spirit, show me when you're moving. I said it earlier, you know, some of the times I know that Holy Spirit is moving because I'll get this idea and I'll say, Holy Spirit, is that you? And usually I'll hear, would you have thought of that? And would you naturally do that? No, I would not. So it's probably Holy Spirit. I was praying for Donna the other day online, virtual, and I had this crazy thought. And I felt like I had to do it virtual reality. I had to do it through Zoom. I'm trying to do something that I would normally do in person, but I can't. So I'm trying to do it through Zoom. And anyway, it was the sword. Yes, I was trying to actually tap. I felt like, I don't know why, guys. You know, I'm saying it going, this sounds so stupid when I say it, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to tap her shoulders to cut off what had been hindering her, but I'm trying to do it via Zoom. And I'm like, Lord, why would you want me to do this? But at the same time, I thought, I would rather err trying and see nothing happen than not err and not try and see what could have happened. Amen? Church, what an amazing, I've painted a picture because it got me excited. But all I know is, I'll go back to this. I saw so many even differing opinions of things when I was teaching. I thought, Lord, I don't want just the teaching. If we don't actually have the fire and the Spirit of God in this hour, we could teach all day long, but nothing's ever going to change. We need the Holy Spirit and the fire of God. Shane, if you worship and God doesn't show up, what is it? Just a bunch of songs. It's another session. It's something that could be, like, it doesn't change anything. And you and I both know, man, what it's like when God shows up and changes an atmosphere. And if we don't have that, I've done two sermons now on how will they know? Well, I'll tell you, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, they will never know. If we do not carry the Spirit, and listen, it's not just for peace. It's the same Spirit. Do you realize, and I'll begin to close with this, do you realize that Peter became an entirely different person with the Holy Spirit? He went from being scared to death to, you know, he seems bold and rah, rah, rah. And then the first moment he has to kind of stand up for his faith, he cowers. All of them actually deny the Lord. And then they get filled with the Holy Spirit and they become like incredible giant slayers. Interesting enough, though, I don't think it's not that they didn't have moments of doubt, because we can read in Acts where they're going to get persecuted. What do? They go back, close themselves into a room, and they go, Lord, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. What happens? The house is shaken, fire falls. I think we'd do a lot better if every time we have a moment, we're like, I don't know what to do, or I'm scared to death, take a second and say, Lord, fire fall, please. I remember being in Tobermory, you know, on a trip. And I did not have ministry in mind. When you're on vacation, ministry is not usually on your mind, which is probably not always good. You know, it's not like we should divide it, but I was just on vacation. We were walking down to the grotto. I remember getting down there and I saw this woman. It's like she stood out, and she didn't just stand out because she was bald. She stood out because the Lord was making her stand out. And as soon as you see it, you know, Some women would shave their heads just to shave their heads, but it's pretty rare, so you know, probably cancer. And as I looked at her, I could just feel Holy Spirit going, well, what are you going to do? And it was kind of like, well, the cloud's over there. Are you going to go over there? And I'll tell you, I was like, oh, dear Lord. And this is like, there's people everywhere. And I had to get the courage and like, Holy Spirit, you got to come. Walked over there and I struck up a conversation, started talking. Of course, she had cancer for a long time. It had been a long battle. So it's like, all right, why not, right? Can I pray for you? She said, that would be amazing. So we had a moment of prayer. I can't say that angels, I heard the voices. I didn't hear any of that, but I just knew God was there. Kept in touch with her. And I know that she is walking today, I believe, cancer-free. Isn't that amazing? And I know it's partly as well because of the what she had to walk through, but I know when she went back, she said things had changed. And so I was so excited for that, and we exchanged for a while. We've lost touch a little bit, but I know she knew that God had touched her. And so we as people, that's not because I'm a pastor. That's because I'm a child of God and I have had the baptism of Holy Spirit and fire. But I also know that in that moment, I needed more baptism of fire. It's not that God was less. It's that I needed more of him and less of me. And we need that every day. And if we're going to see God to begin to move, we need to see Holy Spirit begin to move. And it's not just for the four or the five. It's not for the team. It's for everyone. So whether you go into Tim Hortons or you're going for a walk and you see the cloud move, when I say that, it basically moves from you somewhere and you're like, oh, I notice. I notice something's going on over here. And I've drawn. If you're drawn to something, it most likely means that you're probably supposed to go do something. And I think sometimes it can be a test for us to go, will you just even walk out in faith? You may not even see anything, but will you at least try? So this is the day that we remember when everything changed. The day when the Spirit of God fell not on one temple, but on multiple temples. And if you know the story in Acts, Peter goes out and basically preaches because there still needs to be preaching. But basically they're cut to the heart and they want to get saved. And so they get baptized and they all get filled with the Holy Spirit. So we go from the beginning before that moment, one temple to in a blink of an eye, with the house being shaken, now you have multiple temples for the rest of the history. And the more people can get filled, the more people God can move on this earth. And so our job right now, we just need to really focus on setting aside, turning aside, getting filled with the Spirit and saying, Lord, where's the cloud moving? I think if we just did that for the rest of our life, my life, the world would change. And we just move away from all the other things that we're arguing about. I keep going back to that crazy idea. You know what my crazy idea is? I was talking. There are so many youth groups. So many small youth groups. I thought, man, wouldn't it be cool if we could use one facility somewhere and every small youth group could pool their money and hire somebody that could go instead of all these churches trying to have little teeny groups and nobody wants to go. And this is just the topic I was on. And I thought, that's a God idea. The problem is that we can't find our way into unity. I'm like, Lord, you got to change so the body of Christ can be an example to the world. The body of Christ could be like, I can't believe the unity that these people walk in. So today, as we close, I'd like you to, even if you're here, stand with me. And I know, Rod, you had the people do that. But I just want to feel like we need to change position. If you're at home, why don't you stand? If you're in your bed, why don't you stand? If you're on your comfy couch, why don't you stand? And I'm thankful that this is a good word, but people, I'm saddened by the fact that I can't even remember what I preached 2 weeks ago, so how can other people? And I'm like, Lord, help us to get back to the simplicity of your Holy Spirit, which is simple yet complex. So Lord, we just stand today aware of the remarkable day that we celebrate today, the day that everything changed, the day that, and it doesn't matter if it was truly today or I know there's different calendars, the Hebrew calendar, the point is that we remember the day that you sent your Holy Spirit and the fire moved from one temple to millions throughout history of temples, meaning us, that we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Father God, we first of all, we repent because it says come to you with repentance. We repent that we have not always used or we've not always partnered or we've not always created a relationship with the Holy Spirit, with you, Holy Spirit, and done what you've called us to do. We repent and say, would you forgive us that we've not followed you? We've not followed where the cloud is. We've not followed where you are. Would you forgive us? And Holy Spirit, today we ask that you would once again fall on us with lightning and thunderings and fire and your presence. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you don't just come to be around us, you come to dwell within us. And we ask, Holy Spirit, a third of the Trinity, of the Godhead, Holy Spirit, you are God, and we ask that you would come more today, wherever we are, across the county and possibly across the earth, whoever's watching this, we say, Holy Spirit, would you come? And would you anoint us? Would you come? Would you fill us? Would you come? Would you empower us? Because you promised that the Holy Spirit would be power from on high. You promised us that just like when the disciples were on earth using your authority, that we could do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. So forgive us for not walking in that power and that authority, but we ask today that you would fill us with your anointing, fill us with your Spirit, fill us with your fire. And we just say today, we won't back away. We won't be like, to the best of our ability, like the Israelites, we don't want to back away from the fear of the mountain. We want to step into it. We want to turn aside and look into the fire. So Holy Spirit, would you set every person in the sound of my voice that's listening, watching, would you set them on fire? And would you begin to show them when you move, when you draw their attention to people, when the cloud and the fire move, would you begin to make us aware of it so we can function with the Holy Spirit the way you've called us to? It's like Holy Spirit's rubbing his hands and chomping his lips and saying, just let me get to work. But you have to follow the cloud and the fire. And Lord, I thank you when we wake up tomorrow, you're still with us and we can cry out for more. When we wake up on Tuesday, you're still with us and we can cry out for more. We don't have to wait till the next day of Pentecost. Because Lord, I thank you that it was later on that Peter went to Cornelius' house. It wasn't on Pentecost, and you moved that day. And you moved every day that people were hungry. So help us, Lord. Help us to be hungry. Help us to watch the cloud and the fire move. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.